It's the Christmas story in miniature. It's a powerful message of love, redemption, reconciliation, mercy, grace, joy, and goodwill towards men. The Christmas story begins with Adam and Eve being tempted by Satan and disobeying God. The relationship between God and man is broken. If something hadn't gone terribly wrong in the garden, there would never have been a need for Christmas in the first place. God promises one day the seed of a woman, Jesus, would rise to crush Satan's head so the friendship between God and man could be repaired. Is this unusual term, the seed of a woman, the first hint of a future virgin birth? I think so. For as we all know, it is the man who normally supplies the seed to procreate life, not the woman. God finds a faithful man in Abraham, makes an eternal covenant with him, and promises that in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Abraham has a son called Isaac, and he has a son called Jacob. And God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And he has 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's fourth son is called Judah, the son of praise. And Jacob calls Judah a lion's cub. And you can see all the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is where Judah used to have to camp in the camps. Judah would have authority, the scriptures tell us, until Shiloh would come. That is the Messiah, to whom all people would be drawn. And in Shiloh, they would find peace and everlasting rest. Centuries later, the book of Revelation would call Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In other words, he would become Shiloh, the one who would come to save his people. In today's world, we who choose to praise Jesus become members of the tribe of the King of Kings. And at that point, we're going to pause and have our first carol this morning. Continuing the Christmas story in miniature. 1,000 years before Christ is born, David, a son of the tribe of Judah, that is a descendant from the fourth son of Israel, becomes king of Israel. The scriptures tell us he has a heart like God's. David writes the Psalms, poetry, foretelling accurately the life and times that Shiloh will one day live. That is, the coming Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. David's son Solomon would write the Book of Wisdom. We now call it Proverbs. Both Psalms and Proverbs give us an insight into the character and nature of God himself. 650 years before Christ is born into the world, the prophet Isaiah wrote, God will give us a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah also wrote at around about that time, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He will rule with fairness and justice, and he'll do it from the throne of his ancestor David. For all eternity, the passion of the Lord will make this happen. All written some 650 years before Christ was born. Also about 650 years before Christ was born, the prophet Micah wrote, "The ruler of Israel will be born in Bethlehem." There's a picture of Bethlehem today. Then, at the appointed time, God sends that seed of a woman, his promised Messiah, to earth. Friends, if Christ had not been fully man and fully God at the same time, his sacrifice on the cross would not have been acceptable to our Heavenly Father. For you see, a sin nature is inherited from our earthly fathers. Sorry, fathers. But Jesus' father was God himself. That's why Mary had to be a virgin. Both Mary and Joseph were children of Abraham, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, and of the family of King David. And the angel appeared unto Mary, saying, "Fear not, you are highly favoured by God. Although you are a virgin, you shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Jesus. God shall give him the throne of his father, King David. And Jesus shall reign over the house of Israel forever, as there will be no end to his kingdom." Jesus has not yet sat upon the throne of David. He will do this when he returns to earth in the days ahead of us. The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which you shall give birth to shall be called the Son of God." And an angel appeared to Joseph, "That which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. Jesus shall save his people from their sins. This is being done that the words of the prophet might be fulfilled when he wrote, 'A virgin shall bring forth a son. He will be called Emmanuel,' which being interpreted is God with us." So Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem, and Mary gave birth to a son, calling him Jesus. God announces the arrival of his son to the outcasts of society, the shepherds. They go immediately and worship him, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Merry Christmas, everyone. God's promised Messiah, our Saviour, is born. And so, the seed of the woman, that descendant of Abraham, the son of Jacob, Israel, of the tribe of Judah, the son of David, is born into the world. All praise to Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world, that our relationship with God can be repaired. In the Gospel of John 3:16 in the New Testament, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wise men still seek him." And again, Merry Christmas. Approximately 2 years after Christ was born, many magi, or wise men, came from the east, most likely from Babylon, the city of Babylon, 800 kilometres away, to search out the child-born king of the Jews. They presented Jesus with three gifts: gold to represent his kingship, frankincense represented his role as our high priest forever, myrrh represented the bitter cup Christ would drink in suffering for our sins and dying on the cross. As a preservative and an adhesive, myrrh symbolised Christ would live forever and never let us go. And so, what proof does mankind have that Jesus is who he says he is? Well, proof abounds. God does not expect believers to exercise blind faith, but God wants us to believe by faith all the same. And while faith is important, it is the object to which we direct our faith that is in fact far more important. Christianity is an objective faith, and the object of our faith is a man called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Dr. Floyd E. Hamilton confirms 332 distinct predictions in the Old Testament, foretelling the identity of Christ when he finally came to earth. Now, the mathematical probability presented to the successful candidate was huge. To meet every single one of those, the possibility of one person fulfilling all 332 predictions would represent one chance in, wait for it, one chance in that. Isn't that a big number? I don't think they've even got a name for that number. That's right, 84 with 97 zeros following. There's not that many atoms in the entire known universe. Yet, Jesus of Nazareth was identified beside each of the 332 prophecies, thus confirming without doubt that he is the Messiah Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, indeed the God-man of the Bible, the Creator and Saviour of the universe. Oh, and by the way, no other candidates have ever come close to fitting into the shoes of God's promised Messiah, except Jesus of Nazareth. He is, as it were, our Cinderella found. Consequently, the love of God as expressed through the passion of Jesus Christ is beyond measure. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And what an encouraging verse of scripture that is. The knowledge of this reality makes for a very, very Merry Christmas indeed. Therefore, Jesus is the most incredible Christmas gift ever given. So let's look at the gospel message in summary. God says, the just shall live by faith. Faith that Christ died, faith that Christ was buried, and faith that Christ rose again from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But do we really believe this and follow through by living out our faith in him? But whether we believe it or not, the truth is, man's only hope is to rejoice in his Saviour, Jesus Christ. How would you like it if our friends decided to celebrate our birthday and not invite us to the party? Sadly, that appears to be what happens every Christmas here in Australia. On behalf of Tenterfield Presbyterian family, I'd like to thank you for coming and celebrating Jesus' birthday with us for just a few minutes here this morning in this Christmas season. Friends, as I bring this message to a close, my task here this morning has not been to give you answers. Certainly, answers about the mysteries of the Almighty. But my task here this morning is to challenge you sufficiently so that when you go away from here to spend quality time with family and friends, you leave with more questions than you did when you arrived. If you leave here this morning and give no more thought to the Creator of the world, the Saviour of mankind, and the soon coming King, and you give no more thought to the role you yourself must play upon God's monopoly board of life, nor to the destiny God has set your soul, then I believe I will have failed in my endeavour. But if I have stimulated you with this presentation this morning to want to ask more questions about the Lord Jesus Christ, then my job is done. Remember, God enjoys our journey toward Him rather than us being 100% right about Him. Irrespective of the outcome, from our family to yours, may you be blessed with health, prosperity, hope, and joy this festive season. God bless.